It is time for Gordo's Corner, live from St. Louis, a special World Series edition of The Corner, brought to us by Dallas Dodge Chrysler Jeep and the Snoring Center.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Well, so much to talk about with that game and so much surrounding that game. It was quite a thrill. Not only was it a great contest that we watched, great sports consumption, but the things surrounding the game were also very exciting. We were all three excited to meet the great Joe Buck, because he's been on our air two times, I think.
I think so.
Yeah. I think twice. And I was one of the guys who, when I was first exposed to Joe Buck, I thought, man, this guy seems so arrogant or something. I don't know what it is. And I didn't like Joe Buck.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just started appreciating him and his real subtle, sarcastic, dry humor. He's got a very good sense of humor to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And his subtlety in the way he'll underplay things is very funny. So we got to be fans of his. And
when he'd come on the show with us, he's great.
Yes. He's funny. Well, then we find out from Troy, because Troy works with him, that Joe Buck has become kind of a fan of ours, because Troy goes in there with all these fake characters. And when I first heard that Troy was taking in fake Nolan and fake Jerry and all this to Joe Buck, I'm thinking, man, Troy, what are you doing?
We just tried to pretend it wasn't happening.
Yeah. Joe doesn't want to be troubled with this stuff. But it turns out, not only did Joe like all this stuff, but that's like in their production meetings, their Fox production meetings, that's their fun. They like to stop down and listen to our bits. What a waste of time. So we got it organized to where we could go and meet Joe before the game. We tried to hook up with him two nights ago, but he couldn't meet up with us. So he said, come by the broadcast booth before the game. So we did. Now, fortunately, or strangely, I was rolling for about 10 minutes before we walked into that Fox booth and about 10 minutes afterwards. So my recorder was on while we went in and talked to Joe Buck. Now, we didn't do a formal interview with him, so I'm not going to play the whole thing.
It wasn't the place to do a formal interview.
No, it was just friends saying hi.
Right.
But I don't know if you guys want to hear a little bit of this audio of us walking in the room and saying hello, and you can hear Joe Buck's voice for the first time as Musers meet him.
Now, sure. Tim McCarver is in there, too. He was sitting to the right of
Buck. You've been killing me with the frickin' fake Tim McCarver.
Yeah, in fact, we walk into the Fox booth, and there are about five or six people in the back of the booth, and they just smile at us. And then George kind of walks up to in between the cameras and gets Joe Buck's attention. And so you got to see McCarver. Was he just working away?
Yeah, they were both working. I thought, oh, gosh, they're about to go on the air here in, what, about a half hour?
Yeah, it's like 30 minutes.
And I felt kind of bad about interrupting them. Yeah, they were writing things down. And, yeah, I almost just silently walked out of the booth and told you guys to get out of there.
But weren't you guys a little bit shocked that we were just able to open the door to the TV booth and just walk in?
Yeah.
I was we were milling about for a good minute.
Yeah.
Before George finally summoned the courage to go ahead up there and basically tap Joe on the shoulder. I mean, and no one was asking us to leave or asking us who we were or anything.
I thought for sure we're going to say, what are you guys doing in here?
Oh,
and I didn't really
so
have a
awkward.
Good thing to tell them.
And then when George said, Joe, hey, it's the guys from the Ticket in Dallas, and Joe had this look on his face, and he looked at George, and then he turned back around, and I thought, oh, my God, he's going to completely ignore us.
He's just blown us off royally.
First he looked outside, then he looked back inside.
I'm serious. Right. You're about to get shot through the head. Stop with the fake Tim McCarver. But, yeah, Joe just was basically looking back forward to just straighten his papers and stand up, and he turned around, and he walked up the couple steps and greeted us for the first time.
Good to see you.
Gordon Keith.
Hey.
Gordon.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Steve Horn.
Hey, Steve. That's
Steve
Gordon.
Steve Horn's a big admirer.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate
you guys.
Thank you. You're unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
Big time mission.
No, I'm just hacking around the Dallas.
No.
No, I don't hear a show like that anywhere in the world.
You got a fun gig.
All right, I don't know how much of that you can tell because, like I said, I wasn't rolling on us talking. I happened to be rolling, but it was like in my pocket down by my side. So the audio is bad there. But, like, I got to admit, I felt kind of weird when he immediately said, "You're unbelievable," to Giorgio and us. And then his producer was there, and his producer was, like, this big, I guess, fan. I don't know what you call it.
User, listener.
User, listener, appreciator guy.
Gigantic smile on his face.
Yeah. And he said he didn't hear a show like that anywhere in the world.
Yeah, Joe had to get in there, that it wasn't just the nation. That he had been all over the world. Joe had maybe even traveled interplanetary. And
so the Musers are Joe Buck endorsed.
Right.
Well, that's pretty big coming from the... He's the best network play-by-play guy going now, I think. Mm-hmm. I've always been a big Al Michaels fan, but I think with what he does with baseball and football...
Yeah.
That Joe's the best.
And so then we start small talking. He asked how St. Louis had been treating us, and we told him our failed meal at Pappy's Smokehouse.
Why'd you throw Pappy's under the bus so much?
And you know what? You said it wasn't any good, and he looked offended, like that was one of his favorite places, because he said, who didn't like it?
Right. Yeah, because we said, we went to Pappy's Smokehouse, and we gave it mixed reviews. And then he stopped and looked at all three of us. Who didn't like it?
And he looked like he was going for a piece.
Yeah.
Like a gun.
He went inside his jacket. And I fessed up and said, well, you know, I just thought it was, not that good. And he asked what all we had done while we were here. And Junior said we went on the Budweiser tour, the Anheuser-Busch tour. And Joe asked something along the lines of, yeah, did you stay in the... hospitality suite, drinking many complimentary beers. There's no rushing his speech. I mean, they could have told him you got 2 seconds to air, and he's just still the same cadence.
You know what? He's very tall also. He's probably 6'3", would you say?
You think he's that tall?
I think so.
A lot of people asked me, was he standing on phone books when you met him? And
no.
He was not at all. He was at least as tall as me. I'm about 6'1", a little bit over 6'1".
Yep.
And he was at least as tall as me, if not taller. It's hard to tell with
that
hair.
I thought I was looking down at him.
Yeah, I think he was between... Gordon and I are 6'1", you're 6'4", and I think he was between us.
Yeah.
So I put him, 6'2", 6'3".
And then he asked us about the arch, and we said we didn't go up there, and I said, bagged on George, because George is claustrophobic and won't get into the arch pod to go up to the top. And then we commented on the arch, did they clad it with something?
Because
I said, when I was here as a kid, I don't remember it being... I thought it was like concrete.
I did too.
It wasn't clad in the silver stuff. And he really thought we were idiots on that. No? What are you saying, that they resurfaced the arch? And I made jokes about, I thought that they were sprucing it up for resale before they put it in MLS. They just resurfaced it. And then it devolved into small talk, and then that's when this little moment happened.
Well, so what are you guys doing?
Jacking around.
So what are you guys doing?
Yeah,
in the middle of this, there was a lull, and he said, so what are you guys doing?
That was his cue to us to get the hell out.
Yeah, I'm about to go on national television. You guys got anything else for me?
All told, because I know he was up against it. We cut it off. We didn't wait for him to say... Well, guys, I got to get to work. Yeah. We cut it off and made sure that less was more. And so we said goodbye to him. And then he gave me a parting gift. And I'll tell you what it is here in a second. He refers to it as softcore porn.
Good. Get back to work. Thanks for
saying that. So glad you guys said hi.
It's nice to meet you.
All right. Nice
enjoy your work.
Yeah,
thanks for coming on our show, by the way, too.
Yeah. Hey, there's some softcore porn for you.
Wow. Celebrity pet calendar.
It was a celebrity pet calendar that was, like an ASPCA thing with Betty White on the cover holding like a King Charles Cavalier Spaniel or something.
Does he just travel around with that?
Yeah, he reached over and it was like a pile of freebie stuff that was over there in the booth. Here you go. Here's a parting gift.
And then for the first three innings of the game, I have to sit next to... the fake Joe Buck and the fake Tim McCarver.
Yeah, George and I were relentless on that.
Just back and forth.
Well, that poor guy from St. Louis had to put up with it, too.
It was funny, though, because the fake Tim McCarver is obsessed with the two-seam fastball.
Two-seam fastball and what's inside and what's outside.
Well, thank you, Tim, for saying that once again in the broadcast. 0-2 the count on Hamilton.
You know, I got home from the ball game last night. My wife had her car on the left side of the garage. A tricycle was on the right side, so we had an Explorer on the left side, and my Buick Enclave stayed outside of the garage.
Couldn't somebody in here get me a gun where I could shoot either Tim or myself?
Yeah, it was always McCarver making some inane reference, and then Joe Buck threatening to kill either Tim or himself. That went on for three innings.
Yeah. Fake Joe wanted banjo music up under
hey,
McCarver
tell you what,
every time.
Next time Tim talks, let's just go ahead and pot up the banjo music.
I like that Deliverance movie. I thought it was good.
Somebody give Tim a cane pole and point him to the nearest creek.
Oh, man, that guy from St. Louis hated us.
Oh, he did, because he was living and dying on every cardinal error, just sent his heart into palpitations, and he had to listen to us doing fake Joe and fake Tim.
That, and then between innings, Gordo and I would kind of get into the house music a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Because it was cold out there.
Yeah, we're trying to stay warm.
So we'd stand up and kind of dance, you know, and do robot moves and all kinds of stuff to the music that was pumping. And he thought that was just horrible decorum on our part.
By the way, he left in the fifth inning. He couldn't take it anymore.
No.
Boy, I must have driven him out of here. You sure did, Tim. And then before the game, there was another really funny interfacing, and I don't know why we got all obsessed with this. And by the way, shout out to the P1s on Twitter who came up with some great captions to the photograph that I twit-picked of Chris Berman talking to Ron Washington before the game. Chris Berman, Wash starts walking from the batting cage there. What do you call that? I guess it's a batting cage they put up there for batting practice. And he's walking towards the dugout, and Chris Berman intercepts him. Wash, come here, Wash. And Wash comes over to Chris Berman, and Chris Berman gets real close, puts a hand on Wash's shoulder, and starts talking to him in these very intimate tones, real close face to him. And I was standing like 3 feet away, and I couldn't make out what they were saying. I could just hearing the Berman grumble. And so I snapped a picture with my iPhone, and I tweeted that pic, and I opened it up for a photo caption contest. And the P1s, oh my God, the first two innings of the game, we were just scrolling through my Twitter feed looking at what the P1s had written on this photo caption. There were some funny ones. Some offensive ones,
yeah.
But
it's Berman talking in a very fatherly way with his hand on Wash's shoulder, kind of looking down at him.
I mean, there was, you know, Wash, I don't know if you noticed, but you're black.
Oh my gosh.
There was a lot of Cocaine references about Berman. Berman and Wash, you know, splitting an eight ball, and Berman telling him where it was located in his glove compartment.
But it was so weird. I mean, it was this embrace for what seemed like a minute and a half.
Yeah, it was very odd.
I've always loved you so much. I've loved you since the beginning. Wash, what happened last night stays in St. Louis.
My favorite was, help me help you. Tell me a classic rock lyric that rhymes with Washington.
Oh, anyway, do yourself a favor. Go check out that picture. It's on my Twitter feed somewhere. Just look for the Wash and Chris Berman pic.
Very funny.